Hello, podcasters. Welcome to the Celebrant Talk Show. In a few seconds, like and however long this conversation takes us, you're going to hear the original podcast we recorded. Sarah, was it like 6 hours ago? 7 hours ago?
Yeah, about that. Something like that.
And we were quite certain at that point that we could hopefully record and edit and send a podcast out that would be somewhat up to date, even though things might change pretty quickly. Yet here we are at 10:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of March, hours after recording, and I haven't even finished editing that podcast yet. Yet our whole world has changed. Sarah, give us the breaking news.
Just to note that it's 10:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of March. So Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, gave a press conference at 9:20 or thereabouts after the National Cabinet met this evening, expanding on the stage one restrictions that were set in place on Sunday. And he has finally given us some clarity around weddings and funerals. He was very specific when he said that he was very sorry, but the only weddings that could go ahead were those that only included the celebrant, the couple, and their two witnesses, maximum of 5 people. This does not mean that you can also have a photographer, unless that photographer is a witness. If they want to have a photographer and a videographer, there's your two witnesses. This is not in addition. It's very specific. He also said no more than 10 people at a funeral, whether indoors or outdoors. Now, there was some confusion because a little bit later in the press conference, a journalist, because he also said that personal training sessions outside could go ahead with no more than 10 people present.
Because they're a business.
Yeah.
And because so, weddings are. Oh, my God.
So this is not going down very well, as you can imagine. So basically what happened is that a journalist said, why are the numbers different for weddings and personal training sessions? And he said, because personal training is somebody's business. And I don't want to ruin somebody's business. Now,
like, literally, Britain My Business is a load nuts.
I know. And a lot of people are really upset about this. And a lot of people are saying, so does that mean we can actually have 10 people at a wedding outside? No, it doesn't.
What if it's a business, though?
I think, looking at Scott Morrison when he came out to speak tonight, he's obviously exhausted.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously very stressed. And I think that he did not think through that answer before he gave it about the implications that it would have, you know, about what it would say about weddings. He's not suggesting that weddings are not a business. Of course he's not suggesting that. And, you know, he's not saying that we're not important or anything like that. I think he responded with the first thing that came into his head. And I think that's okay. We also have to remember that personal training sessions are really different from weddings, because the last time I checked, to be honest, I've never done a group training session in my life, but...
Sarah, don't. Really? Never?
Never. But if I ever had, I would imagine that I would not be hugging and kissing the other people in my personal training group.
Wow, and let me tell you how group training goes these days.
Whereas that, of course, is what happens at weddings, and which is why we've all been saying this for 2 weeks, that we need to shut them down because hugging and kissing does not stop. So I think, you know, if he'd thought about it for 5 seconds, he probably would have realized that the correct answer was to say, because at weddings, the social contact is different from during a personal training session. If he'd thought about it, that, I suspect, is what he would actually have said. I don't really think that we can hold this against him and say that he doesn't respect the wedding industry or small business or anything. Fuck, man. It's 10:30 at night. I can barely speak. He's been up and all over the place, you know, nonstop. I'm certainly not a Scott Morrison fan, and I'm not a Liberal voter or anything like that, but I do think we have to give him a little bit of slack on this one. So that's where we're at. 5 people maximum for weddings, 10 people maximum for funerals, inside or outside. He did not say there was a difference between inside or outside, and that is the correct answer as far as I'm concerned, because again, whether you're inside or outside at a wedding or a funeral, there is significantly more social contact than there is at other types of group events. So that's where we're at. 10:30.
We just wanted to give everyone the update because the podcast you're about to hear doesn't reference that.
No, it doesn't. It hadn't happened yet.
I will give the final word of this section of the podcast to your friend and my friend Michael Briggs. If you just get married whilst at a boot camp, you can double your guest list.
Go, Briggsy!
Oh, gosh. All right.
Cotton socks.
On with the podcast. Coming to you live from some really messed up pandemic, it is the Celebrant Talk Show. My name, for at least the next few minutes, is Josh Withers. Who knows what the government will change it to after this. And joining me from the quarantine state of Victoria, I'm imagining you'll be quarantined by the time this goes live, it is Sarah Aird. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Josh.
How's it going?
Well, look, I guess we should say that we're recording this at 4:13 p.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of March. And who knows what will be happening by the time people start listening to this.
Isn't it the weirdest time to be alive that everything changes every minute?
Every minute. I mean, to be fair, things haven't changed quite as rapidly today as they did yesterday.
Okay, but that's because you're in Victoria. I'm in Queensland. Things have changed really fucking rapidly.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, hang on, you're not in Queensland yet.
Okay, and that's the problem. Ah, Sarah.
You're in Sydney at this minute, aren't you?
I am. I'm holed up in a crappy airport hotel. I was supposed to stay in Sydney until Friday morning, which would have me about 30-odd hours too late to avoid having to go into self-isolation when I come home. So I've moved my Thursday elopement to Wednesday, and on Wednesday, so tomorrow, I'm going to do 2 elopements in the afternoon and then sprint back to the Philippine airport to get the last flight back into Queensland, which, honestly, if it was any other place that didn't sound so bogan, it would sound like a really cool kind of movie, like The Last Flight to Queensland.
No. I actually didn't realise that them closing the border or that rule was delayed. This is what has been amazing me about this whole thing the whole time is like, yeah, we're making this rule, but not for 48 hours because the virus is listening to our timelines.
Well, and, you know, you've got to find a middle ground where, like, people like me can come home. But I get it. Like, maybe I've got the virus. Who knows? Like, I don't think I do. Like, currently today, I feel fine. God, I might listen back to this podcast in 3 days and, like, wheezing like an old man and dying. And I'm like, well, loser you. But, yeah, honestly.
So, it's hard to know, though, right? Like, how come, you know, today, like, she's made the rule, right? When did she announce that? This morning?
Last night.
So she's made the rule and she's given, what, 48 hours? So why are people, like, less likely to come in
What I understand, the big thing they're trying to do is lock down before Easter. Because you've kind of done this, but what happens in Queensland is that we get all of you foul southerners come north for Easter.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, best Easter ever. It's just us on the beaches by ourselves. Were there any of you common folk from the south that have driven up in your four-wheel drives and your caravans and your Jetstar flights?
That is a good point.
Yeah, it's
that
just
is
us.
A good point. They are trying to lock down. And so they're trying to lock down really before our school holidays officially start,
yeah.
Which is Friday. But obviously, you know, Morrison did say on Sunday night that, you know, these will not be normal school holidays and you people in Queensland should not feel that you get to go to the beach.
No, we're not going to go to the beach. We probably will, though. Don't tell anyone.
But there's to be no social gatherings, Joshua.
We're not gathering. We're just going for a bloody swim. Leave us alone, Mum.
You're allowed to go for a walk. But, you know, there was definitely a party upstairs at my apartment block last night. And today, I think the couple who lives upstairs must be working from home now because there's been a lot of noise. And I think they might have been playing Kiss Chasey at one point because there was a lot of squealing and a lot of thumping like they were running around and, like, squealing joyfully, and I think they were playing Kiss Chasey.
What I would love is if that, like, you're so beautiful and innocent that that's what you think was happening. It was actually a raging orgy.
Well, to be honest, I would hope that if they were doing something else that they were keeping it a bit quieter than they were, because I'm here right underneath their bed.
Do you think orgies are kind of taking some time off in this, time?
Well, I know internet dating's taking a bit of a dive. Like, people are not meeting their internet dates. They're, like, talking on the phone and stuff.
As much as, like, this is a celebrant podcast and we're probably going to talk about weddings and et cetera, can we just take a moment silence for the pants industry? Like, no one's wearing pants for weeks now. Like, it's going to be tough times if you're a pants manufacturer. I don't want to buy pants.
To be fair, does anybody want to buy anything at this point?
Apparently so. I keep on seeing all these entrepreneurial guys like, now's the time to sell. I'm like, oh, I don't know. No. Every bit of advertising I see that is outside of the scope of my current survival just kind of irks me, which is why, like, I don't have any advertising running at the moment, and I've even tried to pull back from social media. That sounds too silly because I don't know. It just feels weird being that guy today.
Yeah, totally. I know. Everything feels weird. And I know there's quite a lot of wedding industry contacts who are, you know, they've postponed their weddings for the next 6 months to sort of starting again in sort of September, October, November. And they're saying, you know, this is a really great time to increase your marketing and, you know, book in some really good events for later in the year and next year, and so you can live off those deposits. I just wonder if that's a bit short-sighted, because I don't think this is going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and length of virus, who knows? But I think I'm becoming less and less keen to make future plans every day that goes past.
Totally. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't. So one of my celebrant friends has got a couple who were getting married in May, and they're postponing, which is great. But they said to her, so how long do you think we should postpone? Do you think July will be okay? A, we don't fucking know. And B, no, actually, I don't think July will be okay. But ultimately, we don't know. There was a tweet doing the rounds yesterday from some, you know, conservative commentator in the States saying, families really need some clarity about how long this is going to last for. It's very difficult not to have an end date.
Well, you know what, they're not wrong.
The response was, you want to speak to the coronavirus manager, don't you?
Oh, why isn't there a meme about Karen wanting to speak to the coronavirus manager yet?
Well, and then somebody else said, Karen-ing is now Lisa-ing.
Oh, gosh. Because it was a Lisa.
Because it was a Lisa. Hilarious. Oh, God. Anyway.
After this podcast, I'm going to make a Karen meme. I bet I'm going to speak to the coronavirus manager.
Yes, we would all like to know when this is going to be finished, but we don't know. And it's really hard to make future plans, and it's really hard to do anything at all. And it's really hard. Today's my worst day since all this started. Today, I'm finding it really difficult to get motivated to do anything. I need the government to make some decisions. So I need for myself and for my other celebrant colleagues, I need the Attorney General's Department in Canberra to make two decisions. One, do we have to comply with our OPD obligations this year? Two, do we have to pay our fee this year? Now, both of those obligations are enshrined in the Marriage Act. They are both required to occur for us to maintain our registration. However, this is not normal times. And a lot of people have said to me, oh, but you can do OPD online, so there shouldn't be any issue with still doing it. Well, number one issue is internet is rubbish at the moment. And number two issue is celebrants across the country have just lost their income for the next 6 months, potentially, and even longer. Celebrants can't afford to pay for OPD or to pay their registration fee. And the OPD providers, like me, can't afford to provide OPD for free or discounted, because then I would be literally making a loss. I need them to make a decision, because right now I'm spending 12 hours a day trying to keep OPD plans going. I need to do some marketing about, hey, I've got webinars that are going to happen if the internet stacks up. Come and, you know, be in my webinar. But if they turn around, you know, even next week and say no OPD, I don't want to have taken any more payments than I have already. I have something like $70,000 worth of payments for future events that I will have to refund if OPD does not go ahead. And I just need to know. I need to know so that I can start doing other work, like I can start working on the Cert 4. I need to know so that I can give some clarity to all the people who are emailing and calling me every day saying, what's happening with OPD? I need to know so that I can sort out to get that money out of my bank account and back into the pockets of the people who actually need it to live on. My sister said to me this morning, you have to remember that the people working in the Attorney General's Department are just normal people who are also as scared and frustrated and upset about all of this as we are. Yes, I totally accept all of that, but I really need them to make some decisions.
Do you think they... Well, no, okay, it's not even about do you think. It's enshrined in law, so they've got to pass a new law. Because even if they decide, like, oh, we're not going to, like, if you don't do your OPD this year, it's cool. And, like, that's all well and good. But it'd be like if one police officer said, oh, hey, Josh, that murder you just did, like, it's cool. And he goes away and, like, I still did a murder and it's still illegal. Mm. like, so they would have to change the law. And so that has to go through federal parliaments, I'm guessing.
They're literally passing laws every day at the moment to deal with things. So today I saw that I don't really understand the details, but they passed some kind of law to mean that they don't have to go back to parliament and ask for permission every time they want to change something in one piece of legislation.
Oh.
So essentially it meant that I don't even know what it was about. It was about one piece of legislation just saying that they don't have to pass a law to change this every time, and that is only going to be until the end of this year. But to get things working more efficiently, they've passed it once to say we don't have to come back every time we want to change this. So I suspect that under kind of state of emergency, state of disaster kind of provisions, there are ways to push things through quickly to enable the government to say, okay, these are unprecedented times. We're pushing this through just for this year, and we'll review it again for next year.
Yeah, there's just so much happening at the moment, isn't there? Like, as I go to reply to you, because I'm trying to listen, and then I go to talk, and I'm like, oh, there's so much happening at the moment. Like, I imagine that marriage celebrants are right down the bottom of the list of priorities, because there's some real shit going on. And I might cop some hate for this, but, like, if they did nothing about OPD and the registration fee, like, I get that that would be really yuck for a lot of people, but I'm like, oh, I understand it. Like, hell.
Yeah, me too.
Like, there's a whole lot going on. And you know what? Like we might be for dropping OPD for a year, but then that also calls into question, well, we've been banging on about how important OPD is. And you and I get the emails that 100% verify that we know it's really important. I got a phone call on the weekend from a brand new celebrant with some really basic questions and, like, good guy. But I'm like, it's partially his fault that he doesn't know this, But also you're brand new. You've just done the cert four. You've just done the application test or whatever they call it. Gosh, you should know these things. And I feel that you've been let down as a student and a new applicant because you don't know what you don't know. I think.
Yeah.
You know. And yeah. So we've been banging on about how important OPD is. Like, and look,
okay,
like,
there's what is
distance OPD cost? Like $140, you know, or whatever, $160 or whatever.
$200.
Okay, well, I don't know. Yep. I don't know what things cost, Sarah.
No, we are way down the bottom of the priority list. Absolutely. I totally get that. And yes, we bang on all the time about how important OPD is, but these are unprecedented times. And if nobody can marry anyone for the foreseeable future, OPD becomes less important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also true.
Yeah, you know, because if we get to a point where we are actually locked down to the point where marriages cannot go ahead, even legals-only marriages with just the couple and their witnesses, we're locked down to that point, then OPD is irrelevant because we don't need the knowledge. So, I mean, there's such a lot. And, you know, I guess we've got to hope that the people who look after the marriage law and celebrant section are looking out for us in some way, shape and form. So so that's, you know, the OPD stuff, although somebody did give me a slight reality check yesterday and say that OPD was the last thing on their mind. And while I accept that, it's kind of the biggest thing on my mind. The other big thing, of course, is clarity around weddings going ahead in general. So yesterday there was a you know, fairly major fuck-up in Victoria. So as we all know, on Sunday afternoon, both the New South Wales and Victorian premiers came out saying that they were going to shut down all non-essential services in their states over the next 48 hours with no information about what that actually meant. It's fairly obvious they were trying to, you know, push the Prime Minister into doing something like that nationally. But after the cabinet meeting on Sunday night, the Prime Minister came out and said, you know, yeah, we're shutting down some things, but not all of the non-essential stuff. So, and then the two states essentially fell in line with the Commonwealth advice. So yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, Daniel Andrews, the Premier of Victoria, gave a press conference in which he rattled off a list of things that would be closed from now on, and it is the same list as the Commonwealth list. So, you know, bars, pubs, entertainment venues, licensed venues, swimming pools, gyms, etc., etc. And at the end of that list, he said, and weddings and funerals essentially are cancelled, is what he was saying. So I spent several hours on the phone trying to ascertain whether that meant that weddings, which are a social gathering involving food and drink and multiple people, if that's what we were talking about was cancelled, or if marriages were also cancelled. So would we be allowed to continue to do essentially legals-only ceremonies with the couple and their two witnesses in the couple's home or in a park or wherever else it happened to be? I spent, you know, good 4 hours on that, talking to the Business Victoria hotline, the Department of Health and Human Services in Victoria, the Leader of the Opposition, who is my local state member. I called the Premier's office. I tried to get on the radio on ABC Talkback. I sat on hold for 45 minutes but missed out on that. But I just, you know, I rang a lot of people, and then around midday they came out and went, oh, no, weddings and funerals aren't cancelled. That was a mistake. That's not a useful mistake to make. And whether that was, I believe that was an administrative mistake because those words were included in the press release, weddings and funerals, and then a few hours later, those three words were gone from the press release. So it wasn't just that Andrew stood up and said more words than he was meant to. It seems like that was in his written speech. And then they backtracked. Whether they backtracked because people like me rang everybody under the sun and made a fuss, or some other reason altogether, who knows? I've spoken to some of my funeral celebrant and funeral director colleagues who, you know, yesterday morning started cancelling everything because the two major cemetery trusts who run the big crematoriums in Victoria sent out a statement saying, we'll be closed from 12 o'clock because Andrews has just said weddings and funerals are cancelled. And then a few hours later, so started ringing families going, sorry, your funeral's cancelled. A few hours later, oh no, sorry, that was a mistake. So, like, that's just, that kind of mistake can't happen.
But also, like, I needed to escape all of this for an hour or two today, so I went for a walk. If you've ever flown into Sydney Airport and you've seen the cliffs over the ocean there, they're kind of cool. I found that. I went for a walk for an hour or two, and I just kind of didn't have phone reception, didn't have a podcast. It was just me. I went full hippie. I just went no shoes, and I just went for a walk.
Wow.
I just needed to just be not a guy in a hotel room for a little bit because I've been in a fucking hotel room for days, and I'm going crazy. And I kind of on that walk, I developed empathy for those in governance today, which I'm sure you and any sane person would.
It'd be the shittest job ever.
Yeah, because you're forced to be making decisions about
on the fly.
You're being forced to make decisions about which plane you'd like to fly and build as you fall off the cliff. And I'm doing that in my business. Like just before we started recording this, I had to literally completely move two elopements to different times so that I could get back into Queensland before the borders, well, they don't close, but they tighten up so that I can get home and not be in isolation for 2 weeks so I can do other elopements, because I've had to cancel like 40 or so European elopements, and we've said, hey, let's do them in Queensland while we're here. And if I didn't get home tomorrow night, then I couldn't do that. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm literally building a plane as I fall off the cliff. And, and as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know what? I don't have a lot of positive things to say about slow-mo, but God, I bet your elbow's happy he didn't win today.
Oh, totally. And look, being the Prime Minister or any kind of politician at the moment must be shit. Totally the pits.
Yeah.
And I, you know, they are doing a great job. We can't deny that. But these kinds of, you know, releasing information without having all of the answers is not helpful to anyone, at all. So, you know, I also feel a bit weird about whinging about weddings, because ultimately they're a luxury item, and ultimately, you know, they're not important to the survival of the species. And some part of me just wants to throw my hands in the air and go, I can't deal with this anymore. I actually need to be offering my administration and logistics skills where they can be of use, and I should be volunteering down at the hospital. Because I kind of, like, on one hand, I kind of go, this is, in the scheme of things, this is so minor. This shit that I'm spending all these hours worrying about is so ridiculous. But on the other hand, if 9,500 celebrants do have to complete their OPD this year, they're going to need me to be on top of it. So it's really, my head's really spinning. I'm finding it really hard. Okay, in terms of the legal situation in terms of weddings at this moment at 4:30 on Tuesday the 24th of March, we are currently allowed to perform weddings as long as there is less than 100 people indoors or less than 500 people outdoors, and that the indoors and that the space provisions are met. So 4 square meters per person is available, and as long as social distancing measures and hygiene measures are taken wherever possible. So a lot of people have been saying to me, am I allowed to do a legals only ceremony with a couple and their witnesses? Yes, at this point, yes. And that is the advice that I had from Michael O'Brien's office, the leader of the state opposition in Victoria, from the Department of Health and Human Services in Victoria, and from the Business Victoria hotline when I spoke to them. So that was the advice from them. As long as you can meet those conditions, you're good to go. However, that could literally change at any moment. It could change to a point where we are locked down and we are not allowed to meet with people that we don't live with, or we are not allowed to travel from our own home to another person's home or to a park or for non-essential purposes. So somebody rang me today to say, you know, my girlfriend's visa's running out. We need to get married. We haven't signed a notice of intended marriage yet. When's the quickest we can do that? I'm like, well, the 24th of April, but also we might not be able to marry you by then. I don't know. And we're not going to know. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, what about my wedding on the 10th of April? Who knows? We're going to have to wait till the 10th of April to find out. The other thing to think about is it socially responsible to be having any form of gathering? Now, couple and their two witnesses, I'm still doing those weddings and I'm okay with that. This afternoon I'm going off to marry my sixth couple in the last 72 hours because I had four. I had two yesterday, two on Sunday, one on Saturday, and one today. Those legals only ceremonies that I'm doing, they involve me being present for approximately 7 or 8 minutes. They involve copious amounts of hand sanitizer, me wiping the pen and my signing folder with antibacterial wipes in between everybody signing and having them wipe their hands, clean their hands before and after signing. And me being, you know, in that space with those people for 7 or 8 minutes. I'm happy to continue to go ahead with those at this minute. I don't know how long I'm going to be happy about that for. But I've got 30 people in my backyard. We've got a really big backyard, so we've got the space provision. We're okay. We have to think about whether that's okay, whether that is socially responsible, whether it is within the legal guidelines or not. Is it socially responsible? My answer at the moment is no, it's not. Andrews was talking yesterday about a dinner party, 14 people, 10 of them have COVID-19 now. So, you know, the difficulty that we get into is that as business operators, when we say, no, I'm not going to deliver that service because I don't believe that's socially responsible, we then have to refund them all of their money. If the government says you can't do that, my understanding at this point in Victoria, at the very least, is that we do have to refund them, but we can retain a portion of the funds to cover the work we've already done. Although in New South Wales, that seems to also be different. I can't keep up with the consumer laws. So, there's a lot to think about. People also have to think about their own health, the health of their families. I live on my own, so I don't have anybody that I'm coming into contact with on a daily basis that I might infect.
Well, you and I are in a lot of the same Facebook groups and we see each other's comments and whatnot. I see a lot of people saying, what should I do in regards to this communication? And I have that question in my head, and maybe I ask you or a friend once or twice a year, but I know what to do in this situation because I have a service contract between me and my clients, which clearly defines our relationship in times of awesomeness and times of not awesomeness. And no, my contract says zero about a pandemic or a virus. But it does talk about my inability to be their celebrant, and I didn't want to do a 4-hour spiel about get a service contract, but I know that lots of our colleagues, people that you and I love and respect, either A, don't have a contract, or B, they did what I did when I first started, just did a couple of dot points, said, do you agree to this? Yes, and we thought that was a service contract, but a service contract, not only do you want it to define your relationship, but you want it to stand up when questioned, particularly by someone that might be wearing a wig and a robe, and that's why you want a service contract created by a lawyer. And if you're listening to this program, we've got one for sale on the website. I'm not going to bang on about it, but go on there and have a look and read about it, because we think it's important to have a good and a legal relationship between you and your clients. And that doesn't 100% answer the what do we do, but it provides an outer limit. It's kind of okay, like...
And yes, it should, but there are couples right now who are arguing the toss about those contracts.
Oh, 100%. But
and so
what a service contract does is that it puts a fence around your yard and it says, kids, you can play everywhere inside that yard. But a lot of people don't have the fence on their yard, so they don't even know where to play.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people don't have a contract. That's absolutely spot on. But there are a lot of people with good, solid contracts that say, this booking fee that you have paid is non-refundable under any circumstances, blah, blah, blah. And couples are going, I don't care. These are unprecedented times. Give me my money back.
And I honestly, my heart feels for those that are more in the creative spectrum of running a business as opposed to running a business spectrum, because generally if you're a creative person like that, if you're this kind of person, and when I say this, like, I'm actually not having a go at you. I'm encouraging and loving on you, because, like, you're a generous kind of, like, loving, like it's funny. You and I often talk about how we come across a few celebrants that are assholes, and they are, they exist. But generally, it would be really hard to actually be an in the blood asshole as a celebrant, just because with the job, you know, like it,
yeah,
yeah, like you've generally got to be a pretty cool, good person to be a celebrant or a wedding vendor. And so, as your couples reach out and they want a refund, I get it, like. My thing is that I would love to, and we give refunds all the time when we don't see a good fit with the couple, so that we don't go too far down the relationship regretting it. We probably refund 1 in 15, 1 in 20 couples that book with us. We get a month in and like, ah, yeah, no, this is going to be a hell of a relationship. Here's your money back. And that's not something I'll talk about a whole lot, because it's, yeah, it's not something that has to be talked about a whole lot. But that generally leads us to better situations like this, where we've had two couples argue about not getting a refund. And our thing is like, well, are you still getting married? Because if so, let's transfer it to then. Let's not dirty this current situation with a weird relationship. We want to marry you. We just can't because of government regulations and laws and stuff like that. So luckily,
and all of our couples being the good. Postpone, don't cancel movement is huge. But there are, so for example, today I've heard about one where the couple postponed with the vendor last week, and overnight on Sunday, both of them lost their jobs because they work in hospitality.
Yeah.
And they've now come back and said, we both lost our jobs. We need all of our money back because we are cancelling the wedding. And she's like, no, I don't think so. And her contract is very clear that her $400 booking fee, she's taken in at like $1,200 or something, but her $400 booking fee is not refundable. They want it all. And while she feels dreadful for these poor people who've lost their job overnight, but we have too.
Yeah, yeah. And
we've lost our jobs overnight as well.
Yeah.
So... It's really hard. It's really, really hard. And most of the vendors that I've spoken to just seem like they've had really good experiences with most of their couples, but they've generally got one or two who are just being really difficult. And in the instances where they've got one or two, I'm just telling them, just refund, because it's, you know, it's a small percentage of your overall business, and get them off your brain so that you don't spend any more energy or resources worrying about them, because you've got plenty of other things to worry about right now.
Can I
give them back
you?
What they want. Yeah, please do.
In that exact circumstance, and this is the only provision, if you have a contractually bound relationship where you believe you don't have to give a refund, so if you don't have a service contract, if there's a real gray area there, and different states are saying different things, and many of them are saying you don't have to give a refund, but there's also some gray areas in the wording and whatnot. So that's aside. So if you do have a service contract, and if you do have a legally bound relationship where you do not have to give them a refund, my advice would actually be to not give them a refund, because at this stage, the relationship isn't going to get any better. So better off have a bad relationship and money in your pocket than a bad relationship and money not in your pocket. And if they're going to leave a bad review, then you know what? I welcome that review. Like, oh, the world fell apart and this guy wouldn't give me back a couple of $100, even though he legally didn't have to. And I'll happily reply to you that one-star review, letting everyone know what the actual situation was.
I agree with that to a certain extent, I also think that if giving them their money back gets them off your back and removes the back and forth and the constant emails and the outright abuse that some of my vendor colleagues have experienced, I think it gets to a point where you just go, you know what, I'm better off not spending the energy on this anymore.
Yeah, and I hear you on that. I do. And look, everyone's got to make their own big boy decision here.
Absolutely.
I go through a bit of an emotional journey with these kind of relationships, like where they want a discount or whatever, or they want a refund. I first of all, I'm fairly raw and a little bit hurt, and I'm probably, like, if you catch me in the right stage of that place, I'm probably fairly likely to give you a refund. But I pretty quickly realize that I've got a few priorities in life, and this person who's a complete arsehole that wants their money back isn't one of them. Being Luna's dad, being Britt's husband, running a sustainable business so that I'm still in business for the next million years for my other couples, that's my priority. And like, yes, this guy's an arsehole, but sticks and stones will break my bones and names will never hurt me. So I develop a thick skin, not quickly, but quick enough to not give a refund if I don't have to, because that's the journey I kind of go on emotionally, just to, I don't know, save face and stay alive.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Just on the actual laws about this stuff, I did write a post in one of our vendor groups about this. I don't know what the answer is. The New South Wales Fair Trading website says that if something is cancelled because of a government mandate, there are no the consumer is not entitled to a refund. The Victorian Consumer Affairs website says the consumer is entitled to a refund.
The thing is, they've also got to take you to court to get that. And so to take someone to court, it's probably more than the cost of the actual refund they'll get. You maybe have to recover those legal costs, so it might be worth it for them, but they have to really decide on it. Like I said to one of my couples that wants a refund because they're cancelling and life's hard, and they're actually really, really rude about it. And they even recited the service contract back to me. Actually, do you want to hear what I wrote back to them? Because I'm...
Of course.
God, it was... it's a little bit rude. You see... they recited their contract back to me, and I said, God, I feel really embarrassed even saying this now. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for reading your service contract through. I feel like most people don't, and my lawyer would be feeling really warm and fuzzy that you read all of his words. I go through and I say, due to Queensland, Australia, New Zealand regulations, laws and directives, we're unable to provide the elopement services as originally contracted. We've got every intention, etc., etc. As the director of the company, I cannot place myself or my team at a health risk or outside the law in jail with a fine to provide the service that you want. Because they think they're still going to go ahead with their New Zealand elopement in a couple of weeks. Like, bullshit.
Well, how? Nobody's getting on a plane.
Yeah. So I said, as previously stated, if we can find a new date for you to elope on that works for the team, the law, and the pandemic, and then we can continue to offer that opportunity, albeit it'd be pretty awkward considering how unkind and weird this whole situation has become. the closing line. Please let your lawyers know that my lawyer's name is Jason. His email is this email address. And we're pretty excited to see what legal basis he provides for bringing any legal action their way, considering the globe is in shutdown mode and everyone's in a pretty bad way. So
I love it.
They caught me in a raw moment. They were really rude. And, you know, don't be rude to everyone. And look, I was rude back, and so I take that. I don't know. These are weird times, Sarah. These are bloody weird times.
It's such a weird time. And, you know, we're trying to be really nice to our couples because we know that how shit it is to have to cancel a wedding or postpone a wedding. But they need to be nice to us too because this is just hard. It's really hard. Today's not a good day. Anyway, so that's kind of the legal situation. We can do weddings now, but is it socially responsible? Josh, you've got a bunch of elopements scheduled over the next few weeks. What is your current thinking about whether those elopements involve guests, if they do, or I don't know, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, okay, so let me frame this by what's happening. Almost all of the next 3 months of elopements and weddings have all cancelled, postponed, etc. So that's that. But we did have a handful of local ones, and I don't want to keep on cancelling and postponing because it all just takes up future dates. So if I can, if you like the analogy, solo a pill today, I want to. The word being can. And so I can only take responsibility for what I can take responsibility for. And what that means is I can take responsibility for my health and my safety, my adherence to the law. I think I covered it early in the podcast. I don't know if I was just talking to you off air, but it's all a bit of the blur. But I'm rushing home tomorrow night so that I can get back to Queensland without having to go into isolation that I can continue to do that. Because like next week I've got another one just cancelled. So I had three, I've now got two. And the week after I had four and now I've got one. So I now have three elopements ahead of me for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. So, you know, whatever that means. My stance is if the law and the best health directives allow me to conduct an elopement marriage ceremony within the law and what's acceptable, then I will. Because partially, I would like to encourage people to proceed down the path of marriage as swiftly as everything in the world would allow you to. And I feel that it's better to be married than to not be married. But also, I want to be safe and healthy and lawful. So it's a weird kind of marriage to form because the best thing is just to not see people. Like, I've cancelled all my meetings for the last 3 days, and I've just sat in a bloody hotel room, apart from the fact I went for a bushwalk this morning because I was going to go nuts. So I think it's good to not see people. But, we've got people to marry. I don't know, Sarah. These are weird bloody times. How weird are these times?
So weird. And somebody, you know, somebody in a celebrant group, you know, picked me up on that this morning because I said that I was distinguishing between weddings being social gatherings and marriages being couple and witnesses and celebrant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I believe marriages should be able to go ahead, you know, at this point. And this person said, you know, that's just semantics. You know, nobody should be leaving the house if they don't need to. There are some couples who genuinely need to get married, like not for the health of not for the survival of the species, but for visa reasons, for example, for religious reasons, for, you know, there are couples with reasons. And I kind of think while I can, as you say, under the laws, marry them in the most effective and efficient way possible, I think we should be able to continue to do that. But I don't know how long that will last for. And then, so if we do go into lockdown, we know that, you know, Scott Morrison's saying things like, we could be in lockdown for 6, 12, 18 months. Does that mean people can't get married for 18 months? Like, what does that look like? And I did say to this person that at that point, that that happens, that is when I will start lobbying for a change to the legislation to allow us to do weddings over video conference. The AGD has said very clearly yesterday that we can't do that under the current Marriage Act. So,
did you had a chat to someone at the Attorney General's office?
The Celebrant Society girls spoke to Rowan Verco yesterday, who's the acting registrar of marriage celebrants, and he said currently, even though the Electronic Transactions Act is in place, the Marriage Act very clearly says that the monitor must be stated in the presence of the couples and the witnesses, and the couples must say their vows in the presence of the witnesses and the celebrant. So therefore, we could not go ahead with video conference weddings, because then you would not be in the presence of. And I did ask my mum, who's a lawyer, if you didn't know that already, about in the presence of, and whether that could be viewed as in the electronic presence, so in the visual presence. And she is fairly certain that there have been some decisions over the years that did investigate that and did decide that in the presence of meant physical presence, standing in the same place, and that if a contract was or a document was signed and witnessed and the person did not view them sign it, who then affixed their signature as witness, that document would be invalidated. So there are, under the current Marriage Act as it currently stands, we can't do marriages by video conference. If the world got locked down, then we would start lobbying for a change to the Marriage Act. But right now, I don't have the energy for that, because right now I need to worry about the couples who want to get married at this minute in person.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this conversation is going to be a long-ranging one.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Is there anything else on your mind that you think we should communicate to celebrants, wedding people, members, etc.? Like I honestly feel a big blur about the whole thing, and I feel dubious about communicating too much pertinent information as it changes minute by minute.
Yeah.
Get a service contract is my opinion for everything. If you don't have one,
please
go to the website and get one. But Sarah,
absolutely. I think it's really important that we all work together. So there was a good example of this today on one of the groups. The couple had rung one of the vendors and said that they had to cancel the wedding because the venue had cancelled on them. That vendor rang the venue and asked the question, and the vendor said, no, we haven't cancelled. We offered them a whole bunch of dates that they can postpone to. So it's actually really important that we are talking to each other so that we, A, don't get the wrong end of the stick hearing a story from a couple when they might not be telling the truth, but also that we as vendors try to work together to get the best outcomes for our couples. So yeah, I think my biggest advice at the moment would be, please continue to talk to each other and be kind.
Yeah. I would actually be really encouraging to everyone to try and use the correct words as well. Like a cancellation means that something that was happening is no longer happening. And so,
correct.
If a couple was to say to you that they're cancelling, I would say, are you not getting married now? Because I've even had this well before coronavirus. I'll have couples, hey, we're cancelling. I'm like, are you guys still proceeding down the line of marriage? Because I understand that weddings might be cancelled, but is your marriage cancelled? And and that's taken us to different places before. Sometimes I've done legals only. Sometimes I've done elopement. Sometimes we've just done the wedding later on, or like there's all different circumstances, and on that, be aware that everyone is in a weird and awkward and weird situation with life. Like everyone has got life going on, whether that's the fact they've been made redundant, whether it's the fact that there's other illnesses. Like one of my clients has postponed their elopement for nothing to do with coronavirus, apart from the fact that someone in her family has a form of cancer. And as I heard that, I thought, wow, other illnesses are still occurring.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still a thing.
So, like, everyone, we're all in this together. There's a whole patchwork quilt of life going on right now. And so proceed with kindness and use good language. Like, if people say cancellation, find out what they actually mean, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, investigate. That's it.
Sarah, it's always good to hear your voice. I can only assume there'll be another one of these sometime in the next week or two, as
I imagine
it all just goes on. If you want to,
as always, yeah, let us know. Go right ahead.
Our website is celebrant.institute. You can become a member there. And we did a thing actually a few days ago, which we haven't even mentioned anywhere apart from social media, but we gave everyone 2 months free. So if you're an existing member, 2 months free for everyone. And if you if you're not a member yet and you would like to join, 2 months free for you as well, because we'd like to be in a place where we can help people. And yeah, we don't want the $10 a month to be a detrimental thing in your budget while no other money's coming in. So celebrant.institute is the website for us. If you want to see other episodes of this podcast, celebrant.fm. My name's Josh Withers. I'm marriedbyjosh.com and at marriedbyjosh on social media. Sarah, you're at?
I am at sarahaird.com.au and Sarah Aird, so who am I? Sarah Aird Civil Celebrant on the socials. You can also email us at hello@celebrant.fm or hello@celebrant.institute if you have any questions. We will do our best to answer them. As I did say on a few posts yesterday, we are doing our best to interpret information as it comes in for you, but we have access to the same information that you do, and we cannot give advice on specific circumstances, particularly around things like payments and whether you're going to be eligible for payments and allowances and stuff. So please talk to your accountant about those things. But yeah, we try to keep things up to date.
Sarah, talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Oh, my sister.